Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Manifest Podcast. I didn't actually know whether I was going to record a new episode this week, but the way that this usually works is that inspiration strikes in my heart and I feel the need to sit behind the microphone and receive the transmission or the download that needs to be shared with the listeners. So for whatever reason, I'm just so glad that we get to spend this time together today. And the reason why I feel inspired to share is more of a life update today. It's not really educational, so you don't need to take notes. I'm not going to talk about any of my products or any of that kind of stuff. Today is just real and raw. I'm sitting next to the fireplace here in the Hamptons. This is our last few days, actually, that we're going to be here before we go back to Las Vegas. And let me just say that the last 7 days, I have been riding waves of grief because we found out that one of our dogs sadly passed away. His name was Merlin Moonman, and he was born on the 7th of February 2012 in Melbourne, Australia. He lived a really happy and joyous life with us for 11 years and 11 months. Even though he wasn't with us the whole time, because this is the really sad component. And I feel like I'm ready to share this because there were a lot of questions and people were really, curious about why we lost Merlin. So when we made the decision last year to go nomadic and to put all of our stuff into storage in Florida, we took the dogs from Florida to Vegas. Three dogs have lived there for years and years and years. We've lived in Las Vegas now on and off for at least 6 years, with like bookended by our stints months upon months in the Hamptons in New York, and then the time that we moved everything to Florida. So the dogs have been on some incredible adventures. We have Cookie, and she's 13. We had Merlin, who was nearly 12, and Pepper Poop Ants, who's our miniature Groodle, she is 10. And so we've had this dynamic of three dogs that have watched my four children grow over the years. And so when we were looking for a place to rent in the Hamptons, it was kind of slim pickings and we couldn't find a place that would allow dogs. And so we made a difficult decision based on Cookie's age, because she is at like the upper limit of her life expectancy. And she'd had a few problems and scares in the past, that maybe we get a really a nice pet sitter that will love them and be with them, because we had been through such a difficult time towards the end. Well, around August when I went to Australia, we'd been through a really difficult time that I can't talk about publicly, but we really just needed the four of us, Lulu and Ava, Sean and I, to recalibrate and to get back on track, and for me to work with my clients and work on my next book and all of that kind of thing, to recalibrate and feel a sense of peacefulness. And the pet sitter would give us updates and send photos and stuff like that. They were fine. There was no sign or obvious signs of distress. And then last Wednesday night, my little Ava, who is 7 years old, she started crying almost uncontrollably with an overwhelming sense of sadness. She couldn't articulate it. She didn't know why. And, I had had a client session and a mastermind session that day, and she said she was feeling sad. And so after work, I just sat with her and I held her, and she was shaking. Couldn't explain why. And then I put her to bed at around, I think it was 9 o'clock. And she just looked at me and her eyes were so sad. And I said, okay, you're going to sleep with me tonight. So I made Sean take the guest room and Ava slept with me. And then in the morning, Sean woke me up and he said that the pet sitter had sent through a text to say that Merlin, our spoodle, who was 11 years old, had died, and they did everything that they could because there was an incident that happened with another dog and there was nothing that could be done. So Ava I know without a shadow of a doubt that she tuned in on the frequency of Merlin's departure. I know that. It's not, how do I put this? It's not out of the question or unbelievable. I mean, this is the work I do, right? In the metaphysical and the spiritual realm, the fact that Ava's empathetic and spiritual intuitive skills were so on point is a powerful reminder that we are all connected. And so when Sean got the texts from the pet sitter, we had all of these questions. It just didn't feel real. You know, we've had Merlin for such a long time, and we're now only a few days away from heading back to Las Vegas to settle for a little bit. And it's how do I even wrap the words around this right now? It's a shock to the system. And as a family, even including my two older children, who are now adults, well, Olivia's 3 weeks off turning 18, so I'll just throw that in there that she's an adult. They've never experienced loss within our family before. And so this was really the first one for them, you know. And so there's a lot of big feelings of processing the grief in different and various ways. So Sean and I have been, well, for me, I went into like this deep grief for 4 days where I virtually didn't get out of my pajamas. And, you know, I was just crying and sad, and then I was angry, and then I felt blame and all of the things that go with grief. You know, there are so many different stages of grief that we experience. And what was really comforting to me was sharing a photo of Merlin and news of his passing on social media, and the outpouring of love and support and acknowledgement and simpatico from people that have been through similar experiences with the loss of a loved one. And Merlin felt like a family member. It feels like the death of an actual person. And, you know, it's hard to wrap my mind around a dynamic where in our family we don't have the three dogs. And yes, I know that there are so many different levels of loss. You know, it's not like the loss of a child. It's not like the loss of a parent or a friend. But it feels very raw, and it's something that is so overwhelming. You don't necessarily know what to do with that overwhelm. And I think it was Saturday. I had an epic meltdown, it was just uncontrollable crying, almost like it was blended with a bit of a panic attack. And when I know that I go through this, I know on the other side of that, I'm so much stronger and I have so much more intuitive wisdom that's available to me in terms of how I can use these spiritual tools in my business, in the people that I serve, in, you know, the way that I support my clients, in the way that I write my material, you know, all of that kind of thing. It feels like there's new codes that are unlocked. And this reminds me of the reason, this is where the transmission bit comes in, it's just coming through to me right now, really clearly, that this is where it's very powerful to remind yourself that we are spiritual beings having a physical experience. I've said this time and time again. And that we are all connected. And that life and death walk very closely together with a very thin veil. That the transition to the non-physical, back into the non-physical, which is where we came from, is natural. And yet, modern society, American culture, has very much sanitized and taken out the sacred elements of death. So there's so much fear, where there are certain cultures around the world that actually embrace transition as more of a natural part of, as it says in The Lion King, the circle of life. So it's just a reminder that as humans, we have so much more available to us than we can see with our eyes, with our senses, that there is a deeper level and layer of understanding of the reason and purpose why we are in each other's lives. And on the weekend, we watched a movie, and this was probably, this was Sean's idea, and it was a way for us to try and explain to the kids what's happening. And we watched this movie called A Dog's Purpose, and it was about this dog that kept on reincarnating and then coming back to its owner. I think it went back to its owner once or twice. But it was a really beautiful perspective on the fact that this soul journey is not linear, that we do go and duck in, duck out, dip in, dip out to different lifetimes for the ultimate expansion of our spiritual experience and perspective. And this, if that's your belief as well, this was the vantage point of the movie. There are many different belief systems and faiths out there that believe in reincarnation. I believe in reincarnation. I remember my parents used to tell this story that when I was a little girl, I said to my dad, when I was about 2 years old, I said, "I like you better as my other daddy, and where's Isabella?" And it freaked my parents out. You know, it's the story that they tell where it's like, oh, who was this? You know, so, you know, I've had different dreams over the course of my lifetime as well, where I've been in different bodies and experiencing life in different timelines. I think I mentioned this in a previous podcast that I had a dream once that I was in a carriage and the carriage was horse-drawn and it fell off a cliff into some water that was near some rocks. And I remember plunging into the water and I could feel the heaviness of my skirts. There were multiple layers of fabric, you know, an outer layer of velvet. And then I think it's crinoline, I'm not sure. It's a type of fabric. And it was heavy when it was saturated with the water. And I remember struggling to keep the water out of my lungs. And I remember struggling to breathe. And then all of a sudden, just at the point where I was about to lose consciousness, I woke up. And, you know, again, it's like there's this closeness between the veil of life and death and the memories that we gather along these lifetimes. And so after we found out the news last Thursday morning of Merlin's passing, we went to Main Street in Sag Harbor to get a second cup of coffee for the day, even though it was like only 9:30 in the morning, and to get a treat for the kids. I think it was a muffin or something like that. And on our way back, as we cross over this bridge into the area that we live in right now, there was this low-lying fog, and it was so thick we couldn't see anything. It was like when you're in a plane and you fly into a cloud. It was that thick, and it was this veil. And the thing about fog is that it does hold a very spiritual meaning, that it is that veil between the living and the dead. It is between the physical and the non-physical, the duality of those two energetic components. And the awareness that we are energetic beings. And so why do we forget? Why do we forget that we all have an expiration date? Every single one of us. Nobody has cracked the code yet or figured out how to cheat death. How do we get out of it? So it's just that awareness to bring joy to the present moment and also to become aware of what you're tuning your focus to. This was what my husband Sean has been helping me out with a lot. Where am I tuning my focus? Like a tuning fork, right? Where you place your focus is where the energy expands. And so right now I have to be super gentle on myself, but at the same time, I feel like I'm doing this thing, which they call in psychology called compartmentalizing, where I'm dropping different aspects of this experience in different buckets so that it doesn't get messy and it doesn't bleed onto other areas. It's like my daughter Ava and ketchup on a plate. She has to make sure that none of the food touches the ketchup on her plate, and she will use her hands to scoop the food out of the way to make sure that those two things never meet. And, you know, it's the same with messy emotions. You have the faculty and the ability to package it up and then deal with it in the way that you need to, but it has to come out. I was talking to the clients in my mastermind yesterday about this, about processing the grief out, and that we all have different ways of doing this, and no two ways are the same. And so what I found myself doing is allowing myself to cry if I need to cry, and then getting back to work, you know, allowing myself to feel sad and then think of some happy memories of Merlin and then get back to work. But for me, as a deep empath, I see you know, my husband and his challenges that he's having emotionally. And I see that with my girls, and I sense it with my two older kids as well. And it's like, oh, I got to remember, it's like when the plane's going down, you put the air mask on yourself first. And this is a really practical way to deal with the grief, that I need to do the basic things like drinking enough water, having enough, you know, nutritious meals, taking and spending time in nature. So it all adds up, because this life experience, man, I'm sure so many of you can relate to this, that it is a training ground. And just as you think and believe that you have it figured out somewhat, or that you're going through a season of feeling settled, other things come and throw their energetic input into the mix. So this week, my dad and Sean's mum are both having major surgeries. So we're holding the intention that everything turns out successfully for both of them. But it's still, you know, a little worrying. So we're going to hold each other a little tighter this week, my family, my immediate unit here. And we're also going to be beginning the next chapter of this little journey in Las Vegas before we come back to the Hamptons again, because we've ultimately decided that we need to split our time between the two places. And this is the way that we have set up our lives, because we homeschool the girls, because we work from home. It makes it infinitely easier when we feel the call to come back to the trees here in the Hamptons to make that shift and to recalibrate our energy, because I'm telling you, there is nothing nicer right now than the peace and quiet. If you are somebody that gets triggered by sound, you need to make that a priority, that you get out of the city if you can. You know, there is something so peaceful when there's no crickets, there's no summer bugs, there's no leaf blowers. I know so many of you share my dislike of leaf blowers. It's just the stillness and the quiet. Last night, I was sitting in the jacuzzi. We have this outdoor jacuzzi on the deck. It's beautiful. And quite often I have two jacuzzis a day. It gets serviced once a week. And even though it's winter time, I go out there in the morning and then in the evening. And in the evening, I've had some of the most profound ideas come to me. I've had these intuitive knowings and these pieces of wisdom that have actually helped me through this time. It was like this precognitive knowing. And I look up at the stars and I can see the trees that look like, they look like veins. Have you ever looked at trees and thought, wow, that really does look like the vein structure of a human being? Or I have heard a deer off in the woods running down into the valley. I mean, there's just so much beauty if you can tune into the stillness. And if you can't, that's cool too. It's a skill that you need to develop. And I'm telling you that as much as I'm telling myself right now, that when we do dive back into Vegas, which has like this weird buzzy energy, there are beautiful mountains in Las Vegas which you can tune into. And that's what I plan on doing. I plan on going out to the Red Rock Canyon and just sitting in stillness and silence. And it doesn't take much to get out of the hustle and bustle of city life. You know, you can catch a tram or a train. I don't know why I said tram. Clearly, for anybody that's in Melbourne, Australia, you know where I got trams from. That's where I grew up. That was our transport method. But you can go to the end of a train line and it's usually peaceful. I remember many years ago when I lived in Sweden, Thomas was only three at the time, and I didn't know anybody in Sweden when we arrived in Gothenburg. And I had to look up in the local, I think it was, no, what I did was I called a local preschool and I found somebody that spoke English there. Most people speak English, but I was kind of scared to reach out. I was only 25 or 26. And they said and told me that there was a play group that was hosted at a church out at this place called Frölunda Torg, which was about a 40-minute train trip or tram trip out of Gothenburg. And I remember traveling way out of the city. We lived right in the city. and I traveled out into the snow. It was all covered in snow. I didn't know who I was going to meet. And it was so still and peaceful and silent. And I remember that's probably one of my earliest memories of being a young adult and truly appreciating silence and stillness. Because if you really think about it, we are surrounded by so much noise in society. If you turn on Instagram or Facebook and you scroll a feed or things like that, it's decisions that are made for you about what the input is, what you hear. That's the thing I do not like about TikTok, that you open the app and all of a sudden you're blasted with music or information that you may not necessarily choose. So choose what you consume. Choose what goes into your consciousness and choose it with a sense of awareness, because what gets in ultimately anchors itself into your ability to attract and to create what is meant for you. And so I'll leave you with that for today. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. And as I navigate this grief, you know, I can promise you this, I am back in action. I am, you know, back ready to work, to roll up my sleeves, to keep creating content, because this is my life's work. The ups, the downs, the ebbs, the flows, I'm here for it all. And even though it's painful, it's bittersweet, and there's intense and profound beauty around it. And so if you are experiencing grief in your life right now, whether it's through the loss of a loved one or a pet or an expectation or something that you had your heart set on that didn't end up manifesting, I want you to know that you're not alone and that it's perfectly normal to ride out the waves of grief. And only you will know when you are feeling a little bit better and a little bit stronger each and every day. Thank you so much for being here with me today. And until next time, I'm not going to say happy manifesting right now. I'm going to say allow yourself to feel what's real. Okay, lots of love and bye for now.